It is time for your KDNK local newscast for this Friday morning, November 18, 2016. I'm Steve Kolb. Colorado's gasoline prices are among the lowest in the country. KDNK's Amy Haddon-Marr spoke with GasBuddy.com senior petroleum analyst Greg Leskoski to find out why and to get an idea of how the recent presidential election results could affect oil and gas prices in the U.S.
What we see in Colorado is not unlike what we're seeing across the rest of the country. The national average has fallen by 3 cents a gallon to 2.15 in the past week. And in Colorado, we have a statewide average at 2.06. That's down 5 cents a gallon right now versus where it was a week ago. And this is really because of timing. A lot of people, when they know that Thanksgiving weekend is right around the corner, they automatically assume, for instance, that gasoline prices must be going up.
Right.
And just the opposite is happening. What we've seen, in fact, in recent years is that gasoline prices for the Thanksgiving weekend have been in decline through that holiday weekend more often than we've ever seen prices on the upswing. And that's really because of the federal regulations that call for summer blend and winter blend gasoline. What happens at this time of year is that the refineries are putting the cheaper gasoline, the winter blend, back into the market. And at the same time, during the fourth quarter, consumer demand is pretty unremarkable. We have a reduced demand compared to what happens in the summertime. And all of these things combined result in the lowest retail prices at the pump that we typically see during the fourth quarter in November and December.
You know, in this summary, Greg Leskoski, you wrote about how industry experts are already speculating on what steps a Trump administration might take in terms of domestic oil and gas production. What are those speculations?
The discussions that we're hearing relate to things like currency valuations, increased energy production. We already know, for instance, that most of the folks who follow this industry believe that there's going to be a much more favorable environment for the approval of the Keystone Pipeline. And, you know, certainly Mr. Trump was not secretive about his feelings on that topic. So many people are trying to get a handle on just what a Trump administration, you know, might mean. And just their perspectives could have an impact on prices. So far, we haven't seen any quantifiable impact whatsoever. In fact, if I was looking at the price of crude oil on the day before Election Day, it was $45.83 a barrel. And the same benchmark crude today closed at $45.93. We're only talking about a 12-cent difference between the price from Election Day or the day before and right now. There are so many factors that influence retail pricing that ultimately it's the fundamentals that really have the greatest impact. It's not politics. Politics can influence speculation and all kinds of thinking, but at the end of the day, it's still going to come down to supply and demand.
Greg Leskoski of GasBuddy, thanks very much for taking the time to explain it all.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
The average price of a gallon of gas in Pitkin County remains the highest in the state at $3.29 a gallon. For this week's news brief, KDNK's Gavin Dahl speaks to award-winning investigative reporter and columnist Joel Dyer, editor of Boulder Weekly, about Donald Trump's election victory and what's ahead.
Joel Dyer, editor of Boulder Weekly, is an award-winning investigative reporter and columnist. His cover story in the last issue was President Trump, How We Got Here and What to Do Now. Thanks for speaking to KDNK.
Oh, happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Gavin.
So you write that the Democratic Party has abandoned lower class and lower middle class whites, and in turn, white rural counties came out much stronger for Trump than they did for Romney, for example. But what does this mean about the wealthy funders who pull the strings within the Democratic Party, and what happens next for the grassroots as people try to decide, you know, how to move forward?
You just ask, what's the future of democracy in the United States? Here's what we know. We know that for a number of cycles now, quite a few, what we have seen is that the country has more and more become controlled by a group of millionaires. It doesn't matter if it's the Koch brothers, doesn't matter if it's, you know, George Soros and the Democracy Alliance, or here in Colorado, that would be Tim Gill, Pat Stryker. The people who fund the parties have basically been the ones who set the agenda of the Democratic Party. And it just so happened that the deals that got cut, say in Colorado, and I believe nationally too, with the Obama administration, the idea being that we won't get in the way of oil and gas, and oil and gas will more or less stay on the sidelines and everybody's happy. And then we can enact our social agenda as Democrats and everything's okay. And I've been watching this. They used to always say global warming doesn't really poll well. People don't care. Candidates don't have to worry about it. Well, right now, I think we've reached a point where it may be the most important thing when it comes to polling. And oil and gas is one of the most important things when it comes to polling. And the deals that were cut in Colorado and nationally by the Democratic Party have basically been with the oil and gas industry. And their ability to control the party and the party's direction was dependent upon not having a large segment of progressive Democrats come out against oil and gas. Well, the nightmare scenario happened. Fracking has become a central issue for progressives in the state of Colorado. As a result, they're splitting their own party. Bernie won in Colorado. And the reason Bernie won in Colorado over Hillary Clinton was largely because of the environment and because of oil and gas and fracking. But they've already gone down this road. So the establishment didn't see what was happening with progressives in this country. And then the establishment also, because trust me, the billionaires aren't spending a lot of time in Hayes, Kansas. They don't know what's going on in Red Cloud, Nebraska. And what we have out there are boarded up windows. You know, if you make it into a McDonald's line and you're running the cash register, you may have reached your economic pinnacle of your life. This has been building for a while, but it finally came home to roost. And rural America declared a certain kind of war on Washington, D.C., and they won. And the reason they won is because the Democratic Party had also lost a lot of the progressives. You know, we've hit a point in this country where I think establishment politics with billionaires funding the agenda and the nominees may be over. I hope that it is. And we've got to get rid of this superdelegate situation that makes it so impossible for anyone outside the establishment to win.
Award-winning investigative reporter and columnist Joel Dyer is editor of Boulder Weekly. Now that Trump's been elected, you write that the most important thing to remember is we're traveling down this road together. You said that Tuesday's vote was more a referendum on the Clintons and establishment politics than an endorsement of Donald Trump's racist, sexist campaign messaging. What are you encouraging readers to do next?
One of the things I did say in the column also was, you know, should we be scared? And the answer is yes, we should be, but in the sense that it's because we don't know what's going to happen next. Donald Trump is a wild card beyond imagine. And he is a racist. That we know about him. He is a sexist. We know that about him. Honestly, as I look at this right now and the people I'm talking to, I believe that 50 years from now, when we have stopped global warming, we may be able to look back and say it was because of Donald Trump. Being a climate denier at this moment in history, with all the science we have, giving carte blanche to the oil and gas industry, his taking our nation off of COP21, opening up all of the public lands to drilling, is going to galvanize the environmental movement in a way that never could have happened. When you are stuck with Hillary Clinton or even Barack Obama, and they're doing things like signing COP21 and talking about the environment, we keep looking and it just gets worse and worse every year because they're not really dealing with the industries the way they needed to stop it. But a lot of people aren't involved because they think someone's there fighting for them. So in some ways, now that we know that the climate and the planet are under attack, I believe that now, and you're going to see it's going to grow out of like DAPL up in North Dakota, the Dakota Access Pipeline. That is not just about that pipeline. That is the point on a pencil that is going to spread out in this country. And in 2 years, you are going to see millions of people motivated based on climate to come out and change things. And I believe that we will, over the next decade, create more change to stop global warming than we ever would have if Donald Trump hadn't been elected. Because now it's a full-on fight. We see what's going to happen. You either have to just tell your grandkids sorry or you have to show up.
You also write in your column that anyone who's upset about this election has very immediate things we can do in our own lives.
Every one of us now has has an obligation to be a sanctuary for the people that are scared, that are oppressed, that could potentially have violence done against them, certainly that are going to be discriminated against because of this election. And we have to do this on a personal level. You know, I mean, if we can find a way to take that from safety pens to real action and reality, cities need to become sanctuary cities. We need to march with each other. If we keep going down this pathway where middle class, lower middle class, and lower class working class whites are excluded from the Democratic Party, then progressives are in big trouble. I mean, that's just the bottom line. They're in big trouble. And they won't do that if they will go out into the middle of this country, now into the Rust Belt, now into the South, and have these conversations that are not just based on, you know, trying to pick people up because of what they look like, but because of how their lives are. If your lives are hard, let's talk about why, and let's talk about whether government can help you and how government can help you to help yourself. You know, the American dream is dead in all those red counties, and it needs to be revived. They can't be ignored. The American dream has to be revived in those counties. It'll be a different dream than it used to be. I don't know that any country can always be better. But we need safety nets for people, and we need them to be able to feed their families. You know, when you look at 30% of kids in rural America going to bed hungry, well, you're going to have a revolution on your hands, especially when you have the continuing division between rich and poor in this country. And when you have establishment Democratic Party that is being funded by billionaires whose interest is the status quo that keeps that gap going, you end up with Donald Trump, and that's what we got.
Joel Dyer, editor of Boulder Weekly. We'll link to your column at kdnk.org. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thank you, Gavin.